SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very, very good Wednesday, race fans. I spaced out there. I'm involved in about six things at once, and I knew it was time. Yeah, right. Deja says, "Phew." Yeah, I was there. I was sort of there. A very good Wednesday. Beautiful morning here, and we reach midweek, and going to be clearly our last. It seems our last big weekend with multiple venue top line activity. And that includes later today when Gulfstream will draw among the rest of the Saturday slate, three stakes. In fact, they came up yesterday, right? And with Stanley. And that'll enhance what's already a really spectacular Saturday at Oaklawn. The 14 races, still waiting through that. Haven't even gotten to the maiden races yet. And you know, the Friday fantasy card with the inaugural Gardenia and the Arkansas Breeders Championship as well. So three stakes on Friday at Oaklawn, then both Oaklawn and Gulfstream with stakes action Saturday as the Oaklawn season draws to a close. And there was news. I'll start there, actually, with news. And by the way, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevevick.com. And the news yesterday, Jay Pribman with a steady supply of Arkansas Derby news, and the first shoe to drop came early afternoon with Shooter's Shoot, the news that he had spiked a fever and was going to miss his division. And so, you know, went from, I don't know, you know, an 11, two 11 horse fields to an 11 and a 10. And, you know, by all rights, that was a significant scratch because Shooter Shoot figured to be the forward going competition for Charlatan. And then hours later, word came that Fast Enough, Rafael Becerra, shin that he issued that he had last year, shin firing up on him. And so we had one horse withdrawn from each of the two divisions. And so we're down to two 10 horse fields. And I you know, not to belabor the point that's already been, you know, kind of floated, but the yes, Charlatan, you know, would have probably been excluded anyway, but I don't you've got 250-1 shots, you know, before the scratch in the first division and two more in the second division, so that's four. And the two scratches is six. So suddenly you're down to 16 horses. I just don't know if this would not have been, you know, a much better event in terms of one Arkansas Derby. But we got two tens for now, and we'll see if anybody else goes to the sideline. So that was certainly part of the, you know, part of the day's news. There was also, of course, lots of postscript and reaction to Fasig Tipton, and thanks to Boyd for his visit yesterday. We can't get with Pat McKenna from NYRA today. We'll talk to Pat tomorrow, and Pat will, you know, further flesh out things and how they stand in New York. But in terms of some more reaction, Zach Madden, as promised, from Buckland Sales. Zach is going to join us after the first break. Had been actually talked to after Bill Kaplan joined us, what is that, 2 weeks ago, right, after Milt Wolfson passed. And Zach sent me a text. He said, you know, I got a great Bill Kaplan story. And so then when this happened, I said to him, I said, let's see where, you know, I said, I know there's some sales stuff that's up in the air. I'd love to have you come on and talk about how you're dealing, you know, with, you know, your, you know, how the operation is adjusting and, you know, carrying inventory that, you know, might have already cleared, typically, you know, the pinhook from the pinhook side. So anyway, so this ends up being a perfect occasion to get Zach in here, and he'll tell you how he and a lot of the other consigners are dealing with the situation and how, you know, if they're getting help. I mean, they certainly eligible for some of the financial support underpinnings. And we'll talk to Sid, too. I'll bring it up with Sid. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale, of course. And we actually got significant Hill & Dale conversation because of violence. Monster weekend. I mean, Jesus. The two back-to-back wins on Friday and then coming back on Saturday with violent pass. And very curious to ask Sid about how, you know, violence has had sort of a funny start to his stallion career, with, you know, a lot of eagerness and interest, you know, immediately, then, you know, some modest early success, some good early success, and then sort of a lull, and now it seems, you know, a big uptick. So how does that, you know, how does that fare out in the marketplace? So Sid will address that, plus he'll have some thoughts about the Arkansas Derby field as well. And I want to see what he's hearing from breeders and consigners and prospective buyers about the sales calendar adjustments and how everybody's dealing with it. Got to bring up, of course, yesterday's demonstration and L.A. County Board of Supervisors meeting in downtown L.A. You might have seen the video. A lot of people seem to have, like 15,000 views. The video that was sent to me by Derek Lawson. He was down there. Bob Baffert and Doug O'Neill, Brian Corner, and others. There are 50, 60 people came over from the racetrack and, you know, had the placards and, you know, had television cameras on them. And the message and the video is a very impassioned and, you know, well-voiced presentation by Bob Baffert about, you know, going forward and letting us run. And, you know, that Santa Anita has not had a single COVID positive, and things are, you know, being very carefully managed. He said, there are a lot of people suffering out there right now. It's unnecessary that more people can't work, especially at Santa Anita, where it's been COVID-free. It's safe. We're doing everything possible, and there haven't been any problems. I want to see families get back to work. It's tough on everybody out here. I'd like to thank the supervisors who are going to look it over and check it out and who are reviewing our proposals, and hopefully we can get back to work. Baffert was terrific yesterday, and it was very well received. And when the Board of Supervisors had their vote, a 5-0 vote in favor of, you know, going ahead. And now it's back in the hands of the health department. And according to drumbeats and smoke signals out of Sacramento, there's real positive indices that Santa Anita restarting would be part of this phase one of California's, you know, re-engaging of economic entities. It seems as if the message, the word that is circulated after yesterday and into the evening, and this morning, because I've talked to some people already, is that they really feel confident that this is going to be possible and get approval. So I think one of the things that Santa Anita management is hoping for is that people, to some degree, you know, kind of let this play out here over the next several days, and that, you know, the support and all the activity that has, you know, been delivering the message for racing interests in California has hit home. It really feels like they're going to get this done, and especially because in Orange County, Los Al is running Friday, Saturday, Sunday without a hitch. So, you know, there's working models, and in fact, the models nationwide at Foner and Will Rogers. We're going to talk to Chris Katulik this morning as well. It's their big stakes day today, the Bosselman's Pump and Pantry Gus Foner Stakes. And in fact, Doug O'Neill's got a participant in it. The opportunity nationwide, it seems, in fact, you might have seen that Ruidoso, they're going to go ahead and open on May 22nd as planned. And they'll start taking horses on Friday. So that's a, you know, that's a positive. And, you know, a certain number of, I suppose, there might be some Oaklawn operations that, you know, might utilize that option as we wait for, you know, word from Kentucky and from Iowa, from Indiana, and obviously New York and Maryland for the, you know, the East Coast. But the beauty of, at least for now, the East Coast situation is that Tampa and Gulfstream, you know, will run, well, Gulfstream keeps running, and Tampa's going to run through May. So the Eastern Seaboard horse population can shelter in place for now at Payson and Palmettos and Palm Beach Downs and Calder and Gulfstream and Tampa and Ocala. So that's good. Ruidoso and they're just, what is the, let me see, they're May 22nd to September 7th, Saturday and Sundays mostly. You know, and it, obviously it's quarters, a lot of quarters, but they card races for thoroughbreds, you know, that circuit with Sunray and Sunland. So everybody's adjusting as best they can. So let's see, we got the California in. The New York we will wait for tomorrow when we talk to Pat McKenna. So how about some racing? How about some racing results, right? I gave you the Arkansas. I gave you the Arkansas stuff, right? Yes. The scratches. Oh, got to mention the steak yesterday, right? I got way too many. There's just way too many PPs. It's, you know, considering that there's five tracks running, I got more PPs than I know what to do with. The wonderful welder, Teresa Luniak, welder was going to be, you know, he literally, I mean, had to fall down to lose that steak yesterday. But that's been known to happen too. So let's be honest. But he's been a favorite, and we've talked to Teresa Luniak about welder. That was his. Here's the Will Rogers stuff. They handled 6 million yesterday. Welder. That's his 22nd career victory. And yes, he wins a lot against Oklahoma Breds. He's by the visualizer. He's now 7. And that's his seasonal debut as a 7-year-old. Ray Max Farms and Danny Cabrera won off by 6 in a canter at 1-5, but pretty cool. There was a big price, too, that juiced everything up. You had Dame Plata for Francisco Bravo, 25-1. Let's take a break. Zach Madden's going to start us off at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing 2-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield, the leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Could be wrong. We're back at the races 20 minutes into Wednesday. Yesterday at this time, exactly 24 hours ago, we had Boyd Browning join us, and Boyd was really terrific explaining the rationale and the very reasonable logic that has got the summer yearling sale season condensed, the three sales, the two with Saratoga and the July sale coming now in September, and with Derby anticipated on the first Saturday of September, and then a week later after these combined sales, Keeneland starts. And meanwhile, we wait for the two-year-olds to be cleared up, and OBS and Fasig will take care of that at Timonium and, at Ocala. But in the meantime, consigners and, sales agents and pin hookers are on, more pins and needles than usual. A pleasure under any circumstance to have Zach Madden visit from Buckland. And Zach, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? Hope you and your family are staying well and under these uncertain times.
Well, and you the same. And in fact, we have sort of a parallel topic on that family front, because Tina and I, right on the cusp of this situation, became grandparents, and you and your wife became parents. And
right? Raising a quarantine baby.
Quarantine
baby. It's a lot of fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Nothing like timing. I think it was the Sunday, the November sale wrapped up. That next day, we went in and they said, how about having a baby tomorrow? So anyway, it was right from the sale to fatherhood. So I guess it beats him coming, during the sale, which would have been interesting. But we were on full watch, for about 14 days while the November sale was going down. So it was great timing, and it's a true blessing. And there's nothing like being a father, but congratulations to you guys too. That's awesome.
And now we're just we're waiting it out. There's lots of FaceTiming, and we're just waiting out a chance to go back out to Rochester to see her, or for them to bring her here. And actually, for the kids, it's been great to some degree, because they've had even more time than they had planned to to be home with her these first 2 months. But you sent me a picture, and he's adorable, and it's great. What's the name?
Reese, named after my father-in-law and his father. So Reese Thomas, after my grandfather too, so we kind of threw some family stuff in there as well. He's a good boy. He's a joy. And yeah, if there's a silver lining in all this, it's I've gotten to spend a lot more time changing diapers and spending a lot of time with him, during all this.
Well, let's address all this. And, one of the things that I'm sure you, I know actually yesterday we were kind of running around, but if you had a chance to hear Boyd, kind of standing up and trying to anticipate the needs in the sales marketplace as best he can, and also understand how in this case Naira is going to deal with racing, and even if they race at Saratoga, the expectation is that there won't be spectators, and trying to help everybody and make it easier on everybody. Talk about how you're reacting and the people you work with are reacting, and what adjustments you've had to make in general, whether it's on the two-year-old side and whether it's on the the sales prospects for the yearling season. I mean, it's kind of a jumbled mess right now.
Right. Yeah. Each day it seems like there's something new that pops up, or some kind of, I think it's like a running back kind of, once they get to the line, they got to kind of go left or right or straight, or, we're all just kind of juking around a little bit. But, you know, I really just kind of first and foremost want to applaud the sales companies. You know, we're all competitors in this business, pretty much. You know, we've got a lot of competitors, a lot of, you know, friends. And but at the end of the day, you know, we all have a camaraderie. And I think you touched on that yesterday with Boyd and talking about how, you know, the horse business and the people in it are pretty damn resilient. You know, they have a kind of a big heart when things are kind of turned upside down. They, you know, are pretty empathetic when all these things are happening. And I kind of first and foremost just want to thank, you know, Boyd and his crew. And I know that, you know, I think it was going to be their 100th Saratoga sale up there too. So I know that that was not easy for them, you know, to make that decision. And, you know, working in partnership with Keeneland, I think is just beneficial. It trickles down to, you know, everybody in the business that wants to sell a horse. So they all are just, you know, need to have a pat on the back as far as that goes. You know, Bill Thomason over there at Keeneland as well. But we're, I mean, as simple as it may sound or may not, you know, all the things happening, I've kind of just kept my nose to the grindstone. And it's a little awkward, you know, going to somebody's farm and, you know, you've got your mask on. That person may or may not come out of the house, you know, when you're inspecting their yearlings, you know, because some of them are in kind of that vulnerable group. You know, I was in Ocala actually for the March sale, and, you know, I was going to look at a, you know, potential customer's yearlings, and he was saying, you know, Zach, don't take this the wrong way, but, and I think this was what, you know, probably that Monday when things really started shutting down. I think it was close to the 15th or something of March, but I was on my way to Ocala, and they're saying, you know, all the restaurants in Kentucky are shutting down. I had to kind of wipe my eyes, you know, when I got to Ocala, because that was the day that they had announced that, you know, there wasn't going to be racing, period, at Keeneland. And I kind of had to read that two or three times for it to sink in. And, you know, that's when it all kind of started to really, it was real before, but, you know, it seemed to be a little bit more binding and cumbersome, you know. And meanwhile, OBS has, we were selling a horse down there too, you know, 600 two-year-olds down there that have breezed and all that other stuff. So I think people, until that sale, you know, actually started and ended, people were really on pins and needles for it to even start. So I just, you know, I recruit. I try to get horses in our consignment. You know, I don't, that is, and it's very organic. You know, I don't have a big, you know, pin hook partnership that I have every year to, but the, I'd love to do that, but, you know, I don't have a big, you know, pin hook group. I don't have, it's pretty much, I start from scratch pretty much every year. So, over these past, you know, months, and I have a little bit of a gauge of what's out there as far as my clientele goes, because I, you know, I've probably seen these yearlings that are, you know, will go to auction this year as foals. Probably three quarters of them I've already seen already. So I have sort of a baseline of, you know, what they look like, kind of their value in a sense. And I, you know, it's just, again, it's just kind of been a little bit different. When you go to a farm, you got your mask on, you stay 6 feet away from the help, where usually I'm high-fiving, hey, how's the family? You know, it's just kind of, it's more awkward than anything else, you know. But As simple as it is, I've just kind of, you know, kept my nose to the grindstone and controlled the things that I've, you know, I can control. And I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't a little over anxious. You know, some days I have, I said, man, I better fire up this mower and start knocking on doors or something around my neighborhood. Just, you know, hopefully there's still, you know, room to make a living and have fun in this business and stuff, which, you know, I definitely think there is, because it's, again, it's just so resilient. And, you know, it's a pleasure to work, you know, with professionals like Boyd and, you know, Bill and those guys, and them coming together and helping us all, you know.
Zach, talk a little bit about, you know, as you've made these rounds and, you know, as you work through this and make the adjustments, what are you hearing? I mean, because I'm sure everybody is, you know, is anxious, and there's probably two different tracks to feature in this conversation. I mean, those that are, you know, preparing yearlings for the market, they're essentially, for now, they're I'm not going to say they're unaffected, but their marketplace is in a safer environment. The pinhooking community has got to be under tremendous strain right now, because they're normally, you know, we're in May, we'll be in May on Friday. Normally we would have had, you know, a couple up more sales, even though the Gulfstream sale is not it's boutique-y, but it's still, you know, 100 top level 2 year olds and a lot of six figure and seven figure horses change hands. How much stress are people under right now that, you know, that you're in conversation with?
Yeah. I feel for, you know, a lot of these people are my friends, you know, and a lot of them I talk to, you know, either on a daily or weekly basis. You know, there's a lot of nervous people, you know, that are sitting on horses, you know, that they've probably wanted to for too long. And, you know, in being down there in OBS, you know, obviously I've never sold a horse during a pandemic, you know, but that was that was an experience in itself, you know, because I think, you know, our horse did well. You know, I think he was a little bit probably on the upper end of, you know, the market. So those horses, you know, habitually have done well regardless of the market. You know, maybe they bring 400, you know, in a tough market, and they would have brought 600 in a, you know, a lucrative market. But
right,
that's just kind of, that's the deal, you know. And again, I think there's a lot of nervous people that are sitting on weanlings that they bought at the top of the market, you know, last year, and going to resell in a tough market this year. And then, you know, the same goes for people that bought yearlings, you know, at the top of the market that are going to sell in a tough market this year as 2 year olds. You know, again, we're all kind of in this together. There's not one, I mean, kind of not to get too, you know, far in the weeds, but I mean, as the whole world's in this together, you know, and,
sure.
I think that, you know, just in talking with them, it also, they, you know, some people say, hey, it kind of is what it is. We're going to be up there, enter my horse, you know, and let's see what happens. And then I will say, probably more than ever, just in, you know, my time in doing this, unquestionably, there's a ton of people that are saying, no, don't worry about, you know, entering the horse, or, you know, yearling, let's, I want to race him. You know, I'm not going to take a significant discount on, you know, this individual horse. I'd rather just see him in my silks, and, you know, or I'll sell, you know, it as a two-year-old or something like that. So there's kind of a wait and see game. But again, you know, the pin hookers are vital to the market, you know, whether you're selling foals or you're selling yearlings or, you know, and it's just, we rely on each other, you know, and those guys, the 2-year-old guys, you know, need to get liquid, you know, before they can come into the yearling market and, really have a bit of cash to buy, you know, so it's like a, you know, kind of the dominoes, as the dominoes fall, you know, we need, you know, 2-year-old participation, you know, people that buy, or pin hookers, we need their participation at the yearling sales and, you know, need all the help we can get. So yeah, those racing or, you know, the people that are selling 2-year-olds now and everything, I think that, I'm really, really rooting for those sales, you know, obviously to kind of stay the course. And I know they've been pushed back and everything, but really rooting for them to come through. Again, while it all makes sense to push back, you know, the yearling sales as well.
Has there been any, have you heard of people utilizing, you know, we've had regular visits with the, you know, between Jen Shaw from Dean Dorton and Keith Shamblin and Alex Waldrop. We've tried to keep everybody up to speed on the progress of the, you know, the two initiatives. There's been two waves so far. The farm community is eligible, and just the conversation we had Monday, actually, it became, you know, there was an added layer of monies available for farms. Have you heard of people that are you know, taking advantage or trying to gain some, you know, some advance monies to tide them over?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I haven't. Haven't had too much, you know, dealings with all of that. But man, I'm rooting for everybody to, you know, if they need it and want it and can apply for it, I mean, that'd be fantastic, you know, for the, you know, the equine business as a whole, you know, the small businesses and people like that, you know, I'd be rooting for something like that. That would be great.
Well, it's out there, and you know, for those that haven't been aware for one reason or another, I imagine most have, but at, you know, at the Small Business Administration page, the paperwork, the, you know, the emergency loans, as well as the, you know, the payroll protection program. And we know of a number of horsemen that have been able to get some help and, you know, insulate and tide them over. You know, the ones that have got to be, you know, strained are, you know, those that expected to, you know, to clear horses in, you know, in the April sale. You know, in retrospect, you know, we talked to Tom Ventura you know, a couple of different times, you know, through the, you know, through the OBS effort. And in retrospect, I mean, that was courageous, and it ends up probably being a incredibly valuable lifeline for, you know, plenty of people that, you know, were able to, you know, turn over some merchandise, essentially. So they've got to, it's got to make it through into June now for the June sale at OBS, and then of course Timonium as well, which Fasig Tipton combining, and you know, then there's the matter, you know, of getting that stock to out into the racetracks, and the racetracks getting their 2-year-old programs. I mean, certainly those 2-year-old programs are going to be delayed. I mean, getting to this point, I mean, the homebreds and such are in the hands of some, you know, I know there are 2-year-olds that are out there training, but I mean, there's a lot yet to, you know, a lot of dust to settle on that front yet.
Absolutely.
Well, and Zach Madden with us from Buckland Sales, and I was intrigued by and a little surprised yesterday with Boyd. It didn't really occur to me that you think of farms and being them out in the open, and it didn't occur to me that they couldn't be doing their inspections, their normal inspections, to assemble their catalogs. That came as a surprise to me yesterday, but I think at this point we're inching closer toward getting a flow. So
those guys are, like you said, I think, they live and die by their selection process, and their group of guys that select those horses have a really, really good eye and have a good, obviously, a pulse on the market and everything. And yeah, I mean, that really, I think, hindered their, no question in having to push back that sale. Another thing is for July horses, you're starting to get going on them, if not around this time, around, 60 days before the sale or something, right around, Derby time usually. So, also, that's another thing, people for prep, you're prepping 60 to 90 days out. And another thing that's hindered that is, a lot of the vet clinics here in, Lexington, and I'm not quite sure, I'm sure in other surrounding areas and states and everything, elective surgeries for OCDs, chip removal, stuff like that was delayed, so if you had a horse with an issue that popped up with something on spring surveys or whatever, you weren't able to, take out a chip or an OCD or whatever and have a real shot, for your horse to recoup and be ready for one of those kind of earlier type of sales. So just another kind of, kind of thorn in our side there as far as just the normal flow of everything. But to my understanding, I think they're either in the works or starting to kind of maybe ease that, but just kind of other things, you don't really think about or sort of take for granted, another thing kind of that's, a big hindrance.
Well, and everybody, as we've said, yesterday too, everybody has dealt with it, and it's amazing, actually, how fluid the industry is when it comes to reacting. Well, Zach, obviously appreciate the insight and your reaction, and one of the things that got us talking started a few weeks ago when you were listening in to Bill Kaplan's visit, and you gotta tell me, because you hinted that you had a wonderful story about Bill.
Oh man, yeah. So I love Bill. He is a true horseman. He's a gentleman. He had to put up with me in the recruitment of Musical Romance when I was at Three Chimneys. I was just starting out, kind of help bolster the consignment, recruit some of these big fillies that come off the track and or, to come to one of our stallions. So I was, 25 or something at the time, and just lighting up the phone, and I'd talked to Bill, and I'd met with Adam Lazarus of Pinnacle Racing a couple of times, and really grew, kind of close to him. And I met up with him a couple of days before she'd won the Breeders' Cup and all of that. But that following summer, I was going to head down to Gulfstream for the Summit of Speed. And I was talking with Bill, the whole time. And I think he felt like I was, not ambulance chasing, but, you know, I wanted this big mare, and obviously she's a Breeders' Cup winner and all that, and I think she's going to be favored in the Princess Rooney. And he also had a filly of theirs, another Romance, running in the Azalea and undercard, you know, which was another Grade 3, I think it was. And Adam was telling me, you know, kind of on the, he said, everybody's calling us about this filly, you know, all the big consigners, everybody. He said, we're all on board, but you kind of, I think you need to rope Bill in a little bit more. So I said, all right, you know, I'll see what I can do. And the deadlines for, you know, Phasig November, Keeneland November are August 1st. So that was, the Summit of Speed was run around the, I think, 4th of July. And I went down there, and it was probably 95 degrees.
or 105.
That morning. Oh, yeah. That morning. I kid you not. It was so hot. And I'd talked to Bill the night before. This was the day of the race. But I'd talked to him the night before, and he said, I said, Bill, I just want to talk to you. I'm in town. You know, he said that, come by the barn, but don't come by until 10 o'clock when we're done. I said, fair enough. So I could tell he was a little stressed, you know. And I went in, hanging out by in his warming room, and he was with his vet or something, and his vet left, and Bill and I start talking, and he said, so you want this filly, you know? And I said, yeah, you know, she's awesome, which she was, you know, I mean, amazing physical. He picked her up for 22,000, I think, as a 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Just a, you know, innate eye for, you know, a horse. And he said, okay, you know, well, we'll keep talking, you know. And right before we were about to wrap up, he kind of took a step up off of the big kind of rocking chair that he had there in his office. And he kind of went back down into the chair, and he said, oh no, you know, and I'm like, what's going on? So he felt faint, you know, and I said, good grief, I'm going to kill this guy. You know, he's stressed out. I'm sitting here, you know, talking to him about, you know, it's kind of like pulling teeth. He doesn't want to tell me yes. He doesn't want to tell me no, you know. I said, oh, my gosh. So my heart jumps into my chest, or, you know, my mouth, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And he said, no, not today, not today, you know. So he I think he was dehydrated, or he obviously stressed out. But I go out into the shed row, and Freddie, his assistant trainer, was there. I said, Freddie, I said, you know, Bill's, heck, I thought he was having a heart attack at first. And he comes in there, we get ice on him, the ambulance comes, they put him, you know, and Bill's a big guy, and they put him, you know, on this gurney, and he's going out. He's remained conscious the whole time and everything, but he goes, you know, I'm like, Bill, do you want me to come with you to the hospital? And he goes, no, I'm fine, you know. And he looks at Freddie as they're wheeling him into the ambulance. He looks at Freddie, his assistant trainer, and he's told Freddie, win them both today, Freddie. And I said, oh, my gosh, this is like something out of a movie. So I leave the backstretch of Calder. I call Adam, and I say, man, Bill's going to the hospital. You know, I was like, I was with him. He rocked back in his chair. You know, I thought he was having a heart attack. I think he's fine. And he said, oh, geez, you know, gosh. And okay, well, let me make some calls. I'll call his girlfriend. So anyway, that afternoon, I'm sitting down at a table with Adam and them, and we don't really know Bill's status or whatever, and probably 30 minutes before he's going to saddle another Romance, he walks in the kind of paddock in the back there. He's got a huge, probably like 64-ounce big gulp, you know, like from a convenience store that he's sipping on, you know, to get hydrated and everything. It looked like a big Slurpee or something, you know, and he's dressed to the tee. He saddles another Romance. She wins the Grade 3. You know, a couple hours later, he saddles another musical romance. She wins the grade one.
I remember this.
And I just thought to myself, my gosh, to go from what we experienced about 10 a.m. that morning to right now is something out of a movie. You know, like, it was like a, you know, a Rudy type thing that happened. But he, you know, we ended up, you know, getting the filly in the sale. She brought $1.6 million at Fasic Tipton, and he called me a couple of weeks after, and he said, "Well, of course I got to give this filly to you. You saved my life," and which I didn't. You know, like, he's just kind of joking around with him, but he it was a really, really cool story, and I really, really appreciate those guys for, you know, giving a young buck kind of a shot with a big filly like that. And, you know, I still keep up with Adam, do a little business with him. And it was obviously kind of a nice feather in your cap, but an awesome moment. And, you know, even better, you know, made lifelong friends with those guys. So
that's great. And that was a Mr. Yoshida bought her, right, at that sale?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
Unbelievable. Well, Bill Kaplan was really, as I said to him, one of the real favorites that, you know, over the period of time we've done the show. And he, you know, to have a horse like that, you know, as you mentioned, 22,000, and to turn her into a champion, and so pleasant. And that was an emotional visit too, as he paid tribute to Milt Wolfson. Well, Zach,
great guy.
Always fun to talk to you. Send best regards to Ropera and his team, and hang in, and good chance we'll see you in September.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll have to do dinner or get a beer or something when our paths cross. But again, I really appreciate you having me on here, and obviously a big fan of your work, and really appreciate everything you do for the industry, Steve.
Not at all. Zach Madden, everybody, and BucklandSalesAgency.com. If you want to work with Zach, and follow him on Twitter as well. One of the people that we'd love to talk to and get insights, and his success is you know, really highly regarded. Came up really old-fashioned way, and does great work himself. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll go back out to Grand Island. We can't resist visits to Fonner Park. It is a big day there. It's their big steak day, the Bosselman Pump and Pantry, the Gus Fonner Steak, and they got a nice field. They got some ship-ins, and that includes Doug O'Neill invading. I know there's some scratches that Ray Ashford is not going to run his horse, Taruka, that drew the rail. And, of course, Ashford won the steak Monday. He won that stake at Will Rogers. I thought maybe there's a chance he was going to sweep on both ends. But let's get Chris Katulak in here. It's another force out. They got to think they'll get close to $1 million on the pick five. And it's a tough sequence. We'll get some opinions from Chris too. Back after this, Chris Katulak coming up. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale, Seth Merrill later, and more.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice
choices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643. 888-938-4643 or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races. We happily invite Chris Katulak to join us on Bosselman Gus Vonner Steak Day. Typically the big end to the Vonner Park season, but not this year, not in this unusual circumstance. And Chris Katulak, good morning.
Good morning to you. I am happily to be here on your show as well. It is we used to call it the Boss Cap Day, you know, Big Cap Day out in California at Santa Anita, and the time we run isn't that far away from the Big Cap. And we used to be a handicap stake, and my former boss back when I worked here in the 80s and 90s used to grumble and complain. He didn't, it's not boss, I can't call it Boss Cap, you know, and he didn't get it basically. And we're not a handicap anymore, but it just tickles me to no end when Steve Anderson and other people around here in town, race fans, horse players, horsemen, refer to it as the Boss Cap. So it's Boss Cap Day for us here at Vonner Park. Such as it is, we're not $75,000 today, but we're a $50,000 stakes race. And it nevertheless is a terrific betting race.
Well, and we'll talk about the field, and we'll talk about the sequence, which does feature another opportunity at a force out on the Dinsmore pick five, and it comes only four race days since last week's the Tuesday force out, and so it didn't really get a chance to accrue the way it had, you know, the first two high profile opportunities. However, you still have 150 plus thousand.
Yeah, it's almost 200,000. It's 190 okay. something. And, you know, if it goes four or five times, that's pretty yep. much the norm. You said it earlier, going to break, about $1 million. We'll take that.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
That's a nice chunk.
It is. And with close to 200,000, that'll go a long way to basically completely negate the takeout. And it should be nearly a positive expectation for players. And it's going to be a difficult sequence. And we'll talk about some ideas in a minute. Chris, bring everybody up to speed about the reaction to last week, last Wednesday, when the Nebraska Racing Commission gave you the go-ahead to run in May. And, you know, how... You know, dialogue with horsemen, interest in stalls, more people want to come in, because this seems like it's going to be an important interim until some other Midwestern venues get a handle on when they can take horses, most notably Canterbury and Prairie Meadows, certainly Indiana as well. Some thoughts about the environment in those jurisdictions and what kind of reaction you got to last week.
Well, Steve, it's a terrific depiction of the environment. All that you just said, all of that is true. You asked what my action is. I'll say cautious optimism, and I don't even know if optimism is the right word to use, because keep in mind that, we're still under the umbrella of COVID-19 pandemic here in our state, and specifically, I'll just call a spade a spade, Hall County, Nebraska, which is where Grand Island is the hot spot of the state right now. Maybe things have flattened a little bit in the last couple of days, if you can take it on a day-to-day basis, but we're concerned with that. But we continue to push on, and we are maintaining all of our safety precautions and protocol here at Fawner Park to do what we can to fight off the pandemic. Now, I was on the phone a couple days ago with officials and management at Arapahoe Park in Colorado, and they were wondering, kind of how we made it happen here, what are the things we did, so on and so forth, and they're going to open on June 6th. So that might be one outlet for horsemen that are here right now, a number of them. But if everything holds, as you described, to the question you asked me, Steve, we were kind of a solid little unit here, but we are getting some interest of people that want to ship in horses, and we will take horses, but it's the personnel that are coming that we are still putting the 14-day self-isolation. You have to prove that you've been able to be self-isolated out of any sort of a hot state or hot environment before you can come here. And so we're dealing with that. But we did get permission from the Racing Commission to race through May. And, we've been racing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I'll be very honest with you. I'm kind of looking at, are those the days we want to maintain? Would we explore dabbling with potentially an alternative sequence of days or an alternative collection of 3 days of racing in a race week in May?
Well, it's a welcome addition. And between you and Tampa, it gives some people further opportunity to, shelter on the shed row.
Yeah, sure.
Well, as it were.
And Will Rogers, they race with similar race days, and frankly, we get some of the similar horsemen and horses that have gone back and forth, and I'm okay with that. I don't consider them an adversary. I called races at Will Rogers for a couple of years back, a lifetime ago. So, and those, the Oklahoma folks are my friends as well. So we're happy to be part of that presentation during the weekday. On the international scope of horse racing right now. By the way, Steve, I have to ask you, have you met Joe Drape, the turf writer for the New York Times, by any chance? Do you know him? Uh-huh. Have you read his work?
Yes.
And the reason I ask, he has a similar path as you. He's a Kansas City guy. He's been to Exarban races in Omaha back when that empire was rolling. He's been to Fawner Park, which I don't think you've been. Anyway, I
have
ask
not.
You this because
yeah.
he is going to do a major feature story on Fawner Park. He's already done the interview. And on Monday, Kara Kessler from the New York Times was out here, and she spent a day with me getting photos of what makes the little track that could here at Fawner Park. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's a big tease for something, hopefully maybe as soon as this weekend, in the New York Times about Fawner Park. How about that? We've made the Steve Bick Show and the New York Times.
Well, let's wait. Let's wait till the story comes out, Carissa. You don't necessarily know what Joe latches onto. They might find something that you're unaware of back there. I don't know.
People have asked me that. maybe I'm being blind here, but we'll see what happens. You're right. Yes.
Well, let's talk about this afternoon.
And
boy,
okay. Never mind.
That one came like you know.
That was
a torpedo. That was like a U-boat attack. Essentially,
I had those myself. So okay, we survived both. I think.
I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about you. let's bring everybody up to speed on the scratch, because Ray Ashford is not coming with Taruca, right?
Yeah, that's a bummer. And he had one scratch out of the Al Swihart Stakes earlier in the afternoon. So we're now down to a field of nine. The horse would have got some attention. That's the kind of horse that I would say could be very effective in this sort of race. He might have had his hands full, however, this year because of a couple of what I think are the standout horses in the race. And, you know, yesterday when you asked me to be on the show and then you asked me to do some handicapping, I thought, oh, good God, handicapping. I hung that hat up back in June of 2018 with my last card at Remington Park that I worked. But as I sit down and start looking into the race, I'm enthusiastic about it, and you asked me to not just do the race, just do the pick five sequence as well. So I'm on it. I'm ready to go for whatever you like.
Well, all right, then. You know what, let's take a quick run through and we'll come back to the boss cap
in
order. Yeah, let's start with the fifth. This is a 2500 and really just a straight 2500 claimer. No you know, time constraints, no, you know, non-winners of 3 cents. It's just horses that you can buy for 2,500 today, and they'll go the circuit, the 6 furlongs.
Yes, and in the race, there's a pair of horses trained by Mark Hibden that I like. The three-horse Junkers, good God, that horse just keeps getting around the racetrack. They ran him 21 times last year. But he's taking a class drop, and I think this specific class drop might be useful for him. But I think the horse to beat is the four-horse Beta Kappa Song. But I wanted to have a couple in there, so I went for the four over the three. But I would use both of those horses in the first leg of the Dinsdale Pick 5 races, 5 through 9, this afternoon here at Fawner Park. Did you look at the race at all yourself yet, Steve?
Unfortunately, here's what I thought I was going to do, because Nick Tamaro didn't get a chance either. Nick is going to be with us tomorrow to do Friday's fantasy card at Oaklawn, and then Friday to do the Saturday card. So I thought, all right, this sequence doesn't start until 6:53. However, I can't look at it after the show, really, because I'm running to the doctor immediately after the show today. I've got a doctor's appointment. So I'm going to try to get something together by post time, or let's say by 5 o'clock, give or take, by 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, to try to get 5:53 is central. So 6:53 is the Eastern time. So I probably will get something together. But I'm going
to. Okay. The six horse in race five, the six horse Ducati, is being ridden by jockey Francisco Arrieta. He has arrived to ride in the stake. today, and he actually is going to then ride the remainder of the season here at Fawner Park. He has been in Nebraska for well over a week now, so he has begun his self-isolation and his intentions. He's come up from Turf Paradise, I guess, and he's going to go on to Canterbury Park. He's a Venezuelan rider. We've had quite a few come from Venezuela of late, specifically right here at Fawner Park. So class drop on the six horse Ducati, and he would be a danger, I would think, if you wanted to get a little bit deeper in that race. In the sixth race, this is where I am going to go the deepest of my five race sequence. I go five deep in there. It's a $2,500 claiming race for fillies and mares, and you know, a variety of horses have come in and out of form. So I'll use five horses. I go with the one Lingering Sally, the four Intoxicating Kiss, the five Emerald Point, the seven Distinct Approval, and then, you know, just for a real sleeper in there, because you'll need that to get some separation in a pick five wager, the eight horse Atoka Girl, who's 12-1. So in the sixth race, 1, 4, 5, 7, and 8, and I'm going to clear my throat here. Pardon me. Excuse me. Okay, there we go.
Not at all.
All right. Seventh race is where I have a top pick who's 8-1 in the morning line, and I think this horse is a real use horse. His name is John Arnold, and his most recent race was at 4 furlongs for a $3,500 claiming price. Well, I've mentioned this before. It's one of my favorite handicapping angles. The half-mile races are great if you're a speed horse, you can get out of the gate if you're one-dimensional. But if you're not of that ilk, they can kind of undo you because it's just over so quickly. And he was 4 wide and 6 wide, 4 wide going into the turn, 6 wide coming out of it. And that was just his third start of the year. His first start was an okay race at Turf Paradise. So I believe we're going to see a better effort from him, the two-horse John Arnold. But then I'll use the five-horse Rule of the Night, who is the 5-2 morning line favorite. So a logical horse in there in the seventh race. So a horse that will probably be the favorite, and then a horse that certainly deserves a second look off of what I thought was not the true reflection of the two-horse John Arnold in race seven.
So the two and the six in the second leg. So right now we're 2 by 5 by 2. So basically 10 increments at the 50-cent level. And that gets us to the feature.
To the feature where the one Taruka is scratched. And I guess, you think of Doug O'Neill and you think of a couple of Kentucky Derby wins and he's got the six-horse fight on. And here's a horse that's come from Maidan. He's run since then at Oaklawn, where he didn't run a lick there. He has run some good races, but they're deep into his past performances. He's just 4 of 25 lifetime, and maybe I'm just going to try to beat Doug O'Neill through this whole sequence. I don't know for that, but I am not going to use the six-horse fight on because it's not like he's just come on up to Fawner and he's facing a bunch of schleppos or a bunch of, you know, sort of local horses that don't have much stakes background or whatever. This is a real field. And I think that my top pick is the four-horse Sleepy Eyes Todd. He's just run 9 times, and he has 4 wins. That's a pretty good win percentage. But he won early on in his career, and then he just continued to run well. Allowance races, showed up at Oklahoma, almost won the Remington Derby. He was second at 40-1, beaten less than 2 lengths. Came back and beat a large field in the little stakes race they have after that at Remington. And in his last 2 races, I feel he's had alibis. The turf race was an experiment that didn't go well for him. And we know that John Connolly gets a good group at Sam Houston. And then his most recent race was at the fairgrounds in the mineshaft, the grade 3 mineshaft. Long stretch right there. He was forwardly placed. And if you just look at the company line, Silver Dust, who won that race, he's a 2-time winner of the mineshaft. And he's multiple stakes placed otherwise. Gunnit also is a solid allowance horse, whether he's in Kentucky or Fairgrounds or wherever. Both of those are sons of Tappet. Pirate's Punch, who finished third in that mineshaft, went on to just trounce a field at Oaklawn, and that was filled with some good horses also. So I think Sleepy Eyes Todd, his post position, his running style, his nice, tidy, succinct form, I think that's the horse, and I was even going to exclude Pendleton, the 9 horse, but I need to use him. He's a good-looking son of Giants Causeway. I saw him over when he arrived in the quarantine barn we established for ship-ins here, Steve. He's got a really nice running style, really good-looking horse. I've yet to see him on the racetrack, but I've just seen him over in his stall and walking around and whatnot. And I know that this race has been on Justin Evans' radar for some time. Even before the whole COVID-19 thing happened, he knew that this was a horse for this racetrack. So those are the horses in the Bosselman, Steve. I like the 4, Sleepy Eyes Todd, and the 9, Pendleton.
And they make plenty of sense. And you look at the kind of performances they've turned in. And I like that you mention the way in which Justin Evans pointed for this. The local horse. There's a couple of local horses, obviously, and it's hard to argue with anything, frankly, that Marissa Black sends out. And
yep.
Blue Harbor and Mr. Tickle, you get the sense that one or the other, has got a shot in here. You know, losing Taruka from this field does take, some of the pace out of it, a little bit. And so I suppose of the two, I suppose Blue Harbor running back to that Dowd mile performance, where he more or less stayed in contact with the field. I mean, that was a major performance, and I was, I didn't get a chance after the Dowd. That's only what 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance to reach out, but I really wanted to get Marissa Black because when I saw that the Fig came back in 87, which basically. This 8-year-old gelding, that's about a just within a tick of his career best. And Blue Harbor, I think at the very least is a B. And for those of you that do ABC tickets, Dakota Wood, I think can stay in contact with the leaders here and will put in a run. So Pendleton, Sleepy Eyes Todd, and some Blue Harbor.
I don't disagree. You and I have handicapped that race exactly the same. I always like a local horse, but there's some class level that I think is going to keep some separation between them. There was not a whole lot in that Dowd mile, and Blue Heart, he's as consistent as the day is long, and for a horse to pick up the pieces, he certainly would be that, and that's certainly he'll probably carry the colors of the local horse or his stablemate, the 3-horse Mr. Tickle, as you say. So then it gets us to the 9th and final race. This race is a mile and an eighth, and I remember when I called races back here, actually it was Budweiser that was one of the original sponsors of this race, and things have changed. Now it's Coors. Budweiser still does sponsor a stakes race earlier in the year, but it was a starter allowance series where there were some races that led up to the mile and an eighth, but we've always wrapped up the season here at Fauna with a big, long race. A mile and an eighth nowadays is long, And so it's kind of cool. I happened to see the 1-horse Air Assault. I was running around a week ago. I was in the paddock, and I just saw this gray horse, and he really caught my eye. I was just watching his demeanor in the walking ring before he went into the paddock and just watched him in the paddock and couldn't keep my eyes off of him. And what's he do? He just rolls around the racetrack like he owns it, and now he comes right back, and he's won. He's done well at a distance of ground. He actually ran in this race last year, Steve, and he came from 9th, 11 lengths out of it and finished second after kind of made a quick move. But anyway, he's going to be on my ticket. And the 3-horse Ted W., who certainly is taking a class drop in against this group, and while his recent races have been sprint races and wins at that in allowance or claiming or stakes races, if you go deeper into his past performance, the distance of ground is not without the realm of possibility. And then I'll throw in even another horse in this final leg, the 7-horse He's a Bully, who is just really consistent and can get the distance of ground as well. That's a good superfecta race there. End of the day race card. You can make a case for a number of others in there. The pick 5, however, or the like a pick N or a pick 3, pick 4, you're looking for the horse that can win. And that's why when I say it's a good betting race, like the 8-horse Count and Gold, I think he'll be a factor in there. I don't think he's going to win the race, but if you want to bet exactas and trifectas, then there's the 8-horse there for you as well. So I'll go 3 deep in this final leg, Steve. So that's a 1-3-7. in race 9, and that gets me to a $60 ticket. If you had an extra $20 and you wanted to make an $80 ticket, I'd throw in the 5 Sneaky Meek as well there. So that's my ticket.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Sneaky Meek, because if you weren't, I was going to. And one theory that I've come to adopt so far in playing some of these sequences is anything that is sent out by either of the two Stetsons, Stetson Rushton or Stetson Mitchell. First of all, the fact that there's two trainers, Matt Fonner, whose name is Stetson, that already to me is notable. But both of them have been sent out.
Neither of them were here when I was here back in the day, so I'm confused with them also. And then they both have the last name first name combinations, Rushton and Stetson and Mitchell and Rushton. You know, I follow you there, Steve.
I got the biggest kick out of it when I started looking at these races. And at first, I came across Mitchell, and then came across Rushton, and I thought, okay, the fact that there was one named Stetson is one thing, but the fact that there's two Stetsons, Sneaky Meek, who has gone a mile and an eighth, and that came at Arapahoe last August. It was in the slop, and so it's hard to know if the distance worked against this six-year-old if it was just the surface. So I don't know. I Sneaky Meek, I put a little bit of a, I put my little question mark by as a horse that, typically makes the ticket as a, like as a C. But I thought at 4-1, a little short, kind of a shortish price. But the, the two, to me, I had Ted W on top, the two, when I looked at this, and then I put the question mark by Sneaky Meek. It's a bettable sequence. This is again this week. It's approachable.
We like to think so, and I'm looking out my window right now. When the New York Times, so we're going to go back to the New York Times again, Steve. Here, when the photographer was here on Monday, it was so surreal. There was not a breeze blowing at all, and it was 80 degrees. Yesterday, we went from 75 and sunny to 59, and we had 40-mile-per-hour gust. It was dust, and then it was rain, and then we had this brilliant sunset. And today, it's sort of overcast, and the wind is still here, but the infield is just as when you see the name Fawner Park, we look like a park. It's incredible with the fuchsia and the white and the green and all of the beauty here. I love to tweet the pictures out. I've got a little bit of Ralph Waldo Emerson or Henry David Thoreau in me with the whole nature, how it moves an individual. And it overwhelms me, I guess, maybe to a fault. But I love it. And by the way, I grabbed Huey, our penguin, and he has been removed from the front of the tote board for Boss Cap Day. So hopefully the threat of freezing rain is gone at this time of the year.
Excellent. Excellent. It's you're into spring, and like Oaklawn introduced last year, the opportunity for the dogwoods and the azaleas to bloom around the racetrack by the racing extending to Derby Day to first Saturday in May, you're going to get the opportunity for people to see Fawner, in full bloom throughout May. Chris Katulak, good luck today, and should be fun. The only negative, obviously, is that you would have had a big, big Wednesday crowd on hand under normal circumstances, but everybody will enjoy it, not just around Grand Isle and throughout, Mid-American racing, but nationwide. Everybody's tuned in.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. That's just it. It usually is a big event here, thanks to the Bosselman family participation. So we won't have that this year, but we'll look to next year. And thank you for your attention to Fawner Park, as you always give us, and hopefully the other guy from Kansas City that's got the public's eyes will treat us equally as well as you have here.
My pleasure. Chris Katulak, everybody. Nice day at Fawner Park and a very nice card. And there's also the earlier stake, the $15,000 Swillart. Swillart. Yeah, the Swillart. I did not print out those PPs, but take out the two in that race as well as the one in the eighth. So take out both of Ray Ashford's two runners. He did not ship up from Tulsa. Take a break here. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillandale's Next. Got a bunch of topics to talk about with Sid. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Feeling like a boss and staring at the stars. It doesn't matter the cost, cause everybody wants to be famous. Some call the shots, so see you over a bar.
We're back at the races, coming up to the bottom of the hour, almost 90 minutes in, 90 to come, and happy to get